Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the Thanksgiving edition of the Hateful Hitman Podcast. It's a little bit of a crammed up. We're going to touch on everything. It's a little bit of turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, all wrapped up into Devy, college, NFL. It's the second season of the Thanksgiving Spectacular. A little bit different than it was last year, but I think you'll like it. We're going to talk Devy, college. I'm going to put a Devy and a college player in the spotlight and break two players down for you. We got fantasy playoffs coming up real soon. And then we got the Thanksgiving games to talk about. And then a Week 12 preview. But before that, we got some news. Pittsburgh-Baltimore, originally slated for the late game on Thursday night, has been moved to the 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. Looks like it's COVID concerns, and they're not really sure if playing the game tomorrow is the right thing to do. We do already know that J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, both tested positive and are out of this game. So it may be along those lines that they feel it's best, the NFL feels it's best, and the organizations to move this game to the 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. It's kind of a bummer because, you know, I like to watch the Thursday games on Thanksgiving. It's tradition. In my house, since I was a little kid, you know, to watch the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving. The Lions play first, then the Cowboys play. Well, then 4 or 5 years ago, they started having games on Thursday night. And then you have a third game on Thursday, but traditionally I'm cool with the Lions and then the Cowboys, and then, you know, that's it. But I was looking forward to this game. It's a lot of fantasy implications in this game, a lot of big fantasy players going in it, so it would have been nice to see it played, you know, in the spotlight on Thanksgiving night, but it's the world we live in. That being said, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. No matter what you're doing or where you're at, I'd like you all to take a moment when you sit down to eat, and when you thank the Lord for your food and you bless the dinner you're about to receive, look around at all the things you have to be thankful for, okay? Because this world, this year has been a do-over. It's a turd, and not a lot of positives to look at in this year. But you have to find them. You have to look and say, okay, I'm thankful for the house I live in. I have a roof over my head. I got food. I have a family that loves me. I got warm heat keeping me warm on these cold nights. We all have things to be thankful for, and we need to focus on those more than the negative of what this year has been. I'm right there with you. I'm ready for this year to be over with. But this COVID thing ain't going away just because the year changes. Okay, we're going to have to deal with it through 2021 and into 2022. I don't see it, you know, just vanishing and going away. So we have to be thankful this year, especially for all the good that's in our lives. And the good that's in our lives today is football. We have some issues, a couple of quarterback changes. Brandon Allen, you are the quarterback for the Cincinnati Fighting Bengals. We lost Joe Burrow to a nasty injury last Sunday, ACL, MCL, other structural damage. He's out, maybe even into next season a little bit. Don't know yet. Don't want to put, you know, the cart before the horse, but it didn't look good. The injury was nasty, and you knew it right away. I mean, you just knew it the way that it happened. There's no way you can escape that, you know, without having something nasty happen to you. And we've said it all along this whole season that offensive line is terrible, and they're going to get Burrow hurt, and it's terrible. I'm a fan of this kid, man. I rooted for him. When I found out his backstory, you know, the whole Ohio State thing, and they didn't want him, so he left to go to LSU, and he makes a name for himself, wins the Heisman, a national championship, first overall pick, you know, and he's from the 740 down here in Southern Ohio. You just root for that. You know, you root for that kid, and to see this happen, it's like we almost coming, but it stinks that it had to, but I mean, they were getting, he was getting beat up every game, and he was staying in there and just fighting tough. I hated seeing Burrow go down. I lost a bunch of shares of him in fantasy, and, you know, I'm a fan of his game, and I'm a fan of him and his backstory, you know, so the whole thing stinks. It even stinks worse than Ryan Finley does. Ryan Finley's so bad, they're not even going to give him a chance to start. Brandon Allen's going to be the guy for the Bengals. And he can't be much worse than what we've seen out of Ryan Finley. For Jacksonville, Jake Luton, take a seat. Mike Glennon, you're up. As we continue to search and find answers at the quarterback position in Jacksonville, Mike Glennon's the guy they're leaning on this week. I'm going to put a college player and a potential Devy guy in the spotlight here after a while, and it may just possibly be that this guy I talk about, could he possibly be in line to take over someday in Jacksonville, if things work out that way and the cards fall that way, you know, maybe they're going to go get this guy that I'm going to speak about in just a little bit. That's a teaser. We're going to get to that here real soon. But we got a college spotlight, fantasy playoffs, Thanksgiving games, Week 12 preview, all wrapped up here in the Thanksgiving episode of the Hateful Hitman podcast. And we got a lot to get to. So let's get to it. I want to start in college, and I want to start with some news that is really hitting the airwaves and the Twitterverse and social media. And yes, it's about the Clemson Florida State game that was postponed last week. And I'm gonna voice my two cents on it real quick, and then I'm gonna get into some more college stuff. But at one point, you know, I held that Clemson program, you know, and the coaching staff in really high regard. Like, they were the gold standard, not only in the ACC, but they were the gold standard in college football, you know, for six out of the last 8 years or whatever. They have been, you know, the premier program. And in my opinion, from my take on it, Dabo Sweeney he just won't shut up. He just keeps yapping and taking little pot shots at Florida State, and it's not warranted, it's not fair, and it's uncalled for, and he's making himself less than what he needs to be, and it's really showing his true colors. You know, the pot shots about FSU having three coaches in the last 4 years, yeah, who don't know that? Everybody knows that, and that's not a big shock. Okay, and he's talking about having the program, and his program's been at the top, and blah, 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 blah. And look, here's what happened. A Clemson player tested positive for COVID-19 on Friday, the night before the game. The medical officials couldn't come together on agreement from both teams to get this thing going. Clemson did, in fact, say they would play later on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever. But Florida State and Clemson couldn't get on the same page, so the game was postponed until December. Dabo's whining about traveling costs and things of that nature. I totally get it. That I understand. Okay, you've made the trip down in a COVID world where, you know, it's not as easy as it has been, you know, in recent years. To get to where you're going and things of that nature. So I understand the cost to each program. But you got to look at it as this is the best thing. You don't want this turning into an all-out break, which Clemson has fought the COVID-19 virus. They've had problems all season. I don't blame FSU for not wanting to be a part of that and bring that into their, you know, facilities and their college and their locker rooms. I don't blame them for that. Is it a bad look for FSU? Sure is. Because it looks like a very struggling football team that has struggled to win two games this year, okay, is ducking the Clemson Tigers that was going to hang a 50 or a 40 or 50 burger on them. It looks that way. Everything that my gut tells me, everything that I've researched and watched and due diligence says otherwise. Okay, the team was breakfast. They was going to play the game. They were ready to play the game. And Mike Norvell, the head coach, said, we need every rep. This team needs every rep possible, whether it's practice, scrimmage, games. They needed it. Were they going to get smoked? Yep. No doubt about it. It was going to be ugly. If Florida State scored 13 points, I would have been surprised. It's going to be even worse now. Dabo's coming for blood, and he's going to come in there if they play this game in December, and he is going to play his starters until they can't. The score is so ridiculous that they have to pull him out. I'm an avid watcher of warchant.com. I was watching the live show last night. I sent in a message, and it was answered. Corey Clark, I said, are we worried that they're going to hang, you know, that they're going to light the scoreboard up, you know, even more than they were going to originally? Corey Clark, senior, one of the writers there at warchant.com, said that was going to be bad anyway. But, yeah, Dabo's coming for blood. It's going to be ugly. But the thing you need to worry about is if they keep their players in, and they run the score up, okay, and it's 70-10, okay, all of a sudden the sportsmanship goes out of the game, and all of a sudden you're looking at, okay, well, this is, we're going to have some retaliation. We're going to have, our guys are going to get a little bit more aggressive and maybe a little bit loose, and you've still got your Heisman candidate, you know, your All-American quarterback in, just hanging 7 points on us every time they score, and it's way out of hand. Now you're looking at maybe, you know, the sportsmanship goes out of the game, and if they're going to be that way, then maybe bad stuff starts happening, and illegal hits and, you know, extracurricular activities start playing into it, because these young men, they have pride, they have dignity, okay, they're people too. So it's going to be very interesting if this game does get played in December to see just how bad it's going to get. But, you know, as a fan of college football and as a fan of the integrity of the game, I really am disappointed at the way Clemson and Dabo Swinney especially is handling this and handling the backlash and the lashing out towards the FSU program when he doesn't really need to. Okay, everybody knows this program's in shambles right now. It's no joke. Look at the record. Look at the games. Everybody knows that. He doesn't need to lower himself to make himself look better, because all he's really doing is making himself look like an idiot. And we know he's going to smoke the Noles when they play. That being said, I'm going to get on to my college. It'll be my high school spotlight player. This is going to be a guy that you're going to want to look at in the 2022 season for your college fantasy. I don't know as of now. It's too far. I don't know as of now how it's going to translate to the NFL, but this kid has got some serious speed. Okay? Here. The number one all-purpose back out of the 2022 class, Rashawn Luke. He's got a nickname, Speedy, and there's a reason for that. He's a three-sport athlete out of St. John Bosco High School out in California. As a freshman, this kid ran a 10.55 100-meter dash as a freshman. 10.55. That's just smoke. I don't know what that equates to as a 40, because you got to put pads and everything on, and it changes things. But that is fast. Okay, you put on highlights of this kid, and he's he's not a run you over kind of person. You got to understand with his that kind of speed, he's not the bruising back of like Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry. He's not that guy. Okay, he's 5'9" and 165 pounds. That's why I'm worried about how he's going to translate to the NFL, you know, down the road. Okay, this kid is still uncommitted in college. He hasn't committed to a college yet. Got several offers on the table. I remember Arizona State, I think Baylor, Florida. There were several that have offered this kid, and he's dynamite. You put on film, and it's a high school, of course, but you know he's a one cut kind of guy, and he can get outside, and if he's really twitchy as well. So if he can move, you know, he's out and gone. It's going to be really interesting to see where he does go play college ball at. But this guy is definitely on my radar to look at for my college fantasy teams, which we're hoping that kick back up next year and have our college fantasy teams. My Debbie Spotlight player for the Thanksgiving holiday. Quarterback Zach Wilson, Jr., out of BYU. 6'3", 210. Love the size on this kid. Okay, everything that I see just screams NFL talent. NFL caliber, everything. I haven't seen anything I don't like yet. Other than that, there's two cons that I have wrote down here, and he really can't help that. But if you put film on this guy, he throws an amazing ball. And it's not just, he's 6'3", 210, and he has good size, and he has good speed. He moves in and out of the pocket. He'll take off and run the ball. He has 51 carries for 191 yards, 8 touchdowns this year in 9 games. So he'll tuck it and run. He's not what I would consider a dual threat, but he's a guy that will run, you know, when he needs to and if he has to, and if there's an opening, he's certainly going to take off. 9 games, 2,724 yards, 26 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's putting up good numbers. He's got a great arm, good and strong, very accurate. He makes good throws on the move and in traffic. He makes good throws from the pocket. He has good pocket presence. He has good pocket security. Now, that offensive line at BYU is pretty good because everything that I've seen on film, he's always got time to throw. I tried to watch the entire game last week, but it wasn't televised anywhere, and I have about every college football game there is, so I couldn't find it. That being said, here's the downside. And this is kind of how I rate quarterbacks that are in college. Okay, is the level of competition you're playing against. Okay, I want to see what these kids do against high-level teams. That's the one thing that's a knock against him. Is he hasn't really played anybody this season that has really just, you know, the level of competition just isn't dynamic of what he's facing. But that's not his fault, okay? He didn't set the schedule. He's doing what he needs to do, and his team is having a very good year, and so is he. Like I said before, this guy, it's possible that he somehow ends up in Jacksonville and gets a chance to play quarterback there. Because everything I've seen, he throws the ball better than what they've got. Okay, he can run and move better than anything that I've seen that they have. So, you know, if he was to land in Jacksonville, you know, he could have a chance, a legitimate chance, to go out there and compete for a starting job. You know, maybe you don't want to play him in year one, but maybe year two, you know, he's the guy. And you put on film on this guy. He can throw, he can run, and, you know, he lights up the scoreboard. And the level of competition, the teams, you know, not great, but he's putting up big-time numbers to help support. You know, you wouldn't want to see him struggling against this schedule. You want to see him excelling, because so at least he's doing what he needs to do to ensure, you know, that he's doing his thing right. I picked him up in our Debbie League. Was really excited to make a move and pick him up to see where he goes. Our Debbie League's 2 quarterback starts, so it's quarterback driven, and it's important to have these guys, you know, on the bench, especially this year. I mean, I had Burrow, and I just lost him. So, you know, it's important for the two quarterback system to have these guys in play, and it never hurts to have a couple extra quarterbacks on your shelf in case something were to happen. There you go. There's my two guys, the two names I was going to put in the College and Devy spotlights. Make a note. Go check them out. See what you think. Speedy Luke, Zach Wilson, a couple of shining stars. And we'll see, you know, how they translate at the next level. If you haven't been watching college football this year, and I'll be the first one to admit, I haven't watched as much college football as I normally do. I can sit down and I can flip around and I can watch little parts of games and this and that, but if it's not an entertaining game, I'm moving on. Every game I've watched this year that I can get entertained in has found me some level of, are we just playing the game to play the game, or some of them struggling? Some teams are struggling, some teams are, you know, not where we thought they would be, and you know, and it's all COVID related. You know, I think fans make a big difference. If you're watching a game and it's a game that's not really, you know, intense as far as back and forth, this and that, you know, fans can bring a different element to a game. And not having fans in the stands, or as many fans in the stands, I think has really changed the complexion and the interest, you know, of games, even watching them. But we got to look at several teams here that are having fantastic runs, you know, this year in college. And I'll start with Liberty, the Liberty Flames. They did lose to NC State last week in a really close competitive game. And I would have liked to have seen them win. They got a quarterback out there that I'm keeping an eye on for Devy and college as well. Transfer from Clemson. But I was kind of rooting for them to beat NC State. Didn't happen. Lost a close one. But they're having a fantastic run. They was ranked 21st, I think, in the country at that time. Other team that's having a great run is the Marshall Thundering Herd. Look, if you can't root for the Marshall Thundering Herd, then you're not really a sports fan of college football. Because knowing what that college went through, this is the 50-year anniversary of the Marshall plane crash that killed the entire football team and staff, other than a few players that weren't there, didn't make the trip. I think they were playing Eastern Carolina that week. The plane crash changed the complexion of that team, that college, that town, everything. Watch the movie, We Are Marshall. Go find it. It is fantastic. It's 50 years ago that happened. And now here we are 50 years later, and that team is having the run they're having this year. I think it is absolutely outstanding that they are performing this well and getting that team back to where it needs to be. Even here, as I said, as a fan of West Virginia, and Marshall and West Virginia are rivals, same state, West Virginia, you know, I'm always finding myself rooting for Marshall just because of the history of that school and that program. Coastal Carolina, 8-0, ranked 16th in the country. Indiana, 4-1, just lost a heartbreaker to Ohio State last week, having a fantastic season. BYU, talked about them a little bit ago with Zach Wilson, 9-0, 8th in the country. The Cincinnati Bearcats, 8-0, 7th in the country. Like I said, Marshall, 17th. It's good to see some different faces, you know, ranked in college football. And this year, and you have so many college fans, so many fan bases throughout the country, from East Coast to West Coast, North and South. Somebody is a fan of these teams, okay? Somebody who either went to, roots for, or lives beside Coastal Carolina is cheering for that football team this year. Okay, and they have a reason to celebrate their team. Same can be said for all these schools. We haven't seen Indiana be this relevant in football since like the 80s or 90s. Cincinnati is building a program that I think we're going to see up here perennially over and over because of what Fickell's doing there in Cincinnati with that team. We may see this team, you know, in the conversation for some time to come. Would love to see Marshall stay relevant for the next, you know, decade. Would love to see that. 7-0 right now, having a good season. Like I said, I root for that team. It's like college football's better when some of these old school programs are good. I'd love to see Nebraska get back to where they were back in the 90s. We won't even talk about Florida State because that's just a whole nother mess of goo that's for another time. Last one I want to talk about, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, 7-1, ranked 23rd in the country, having a fantastic run this year as well. It's just teams that I wanted to speak on that we don't talk about every single year. Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. It's different, and it's good. So what am I doing? I'm rooting for these guys. I'm rooting for these teams. Okay, maybe I know a lot of these teams play in the Sun Belt, and I know a lot of these teams play in conferences that are not Power 5 and all this and all that. But in this year, it's something to cheer for, and it's something different. So, you know, I do say go Herd. Okay, I'm on their bandwagon, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm a West Virginia Mountaineer fan, but I'm finding myself this year rooting for Marshall to see just how good and how far they can go. On to the NFL, we're going to talk fantasy football before we get into our Week 12 preview. And I'm looking at 2 weeks, three depending on what league you're in and how many teams and the setup and the construction of your league. You're down to two. 2 weeks. You got Week 12 and Week 13. And then Week 14 starts fantasy playoffs. I got to admit, I'm having a pretty good run. In 11 leagues, the one league being just a points league, I'm in a playoff hunt in all of them but our College to Canton League. College to Canton League is hard because there's nobody. We drained the player pool. No free agent. There's nothing out there. It's just barren wasteland of sand and air. There's nothing there. So we handled that wrong. We shouldn't have expanded the rosters until next year. But you live and learn. Other than that, I'm in the hunt all over the place. Having a pretty good run. Probably going to miss out the playoffs in a couple. It's just the way it goes. But now you're starting to look at schedules. Okay, and the one guy I want to talk about is the one guy that I focused on this week. I had a trade offer sent to me as trade deadlines are rapidly approaching or have expired. But somebody was coming after Chris Godwin. And I thought, well, his quarterback is showing some age and his quarterback is showing some of the things that he really can't do anymore. But he's still Tom Brady. I look at the schedule for the fantasy playoff run for Chris Godwin, and I'm thinking maybe I'm hanging on to Chris Godwin because of the matchups being a little bit more favorable. That's what you have to do. You have to look at some of these players, and you know you're starting Dalvin Cook. You're starting Patrick Mahomes. You're starting Alvin Kamara. You're starting those guys. It doesn't matter who they play. You're putting them in. But there's some people that you can look at and say, okay, well, this week we got COVID issues with the Ravens. Gus Edwards, if you're in a pinch, you know, and you're having COVID issues with other players like a Brandon Ayuk, or maybe you have J.K. Dobbins, okay, then that's going to make Gus Edwards a must start. Matchup is okay, but if he's going to be the main guy, then Gus Edwards is to me would be a must start, you know, if you're in a situation where, you know, I need to play this guy. Then play him. He's going to be the main guy. Number one running back on an NFL team. I know it's the Steelers, but if he's the main guy, if he gets you a touchdown, You know, that's a win. That's a win. So look at your scheduling. Start to look at it. Okay, for these guys that are you know, you've moved in and out or have been hurt or whatever. Okay, and look at their schedules and say, okay, well, they've got Pittsburgh, and then they've got Baltimore, and then they've got Tampa. Okay, maybe I'm going a different route. Find somebody that plays like Minnesota or even Dallas, which is coming on strong. Dallas' defense has played very well the last couple of weeks. Really shocked me that they was able to beat Minnesota last week, but they didn't. I mean, Dalvin Cook still went for over 100, had a touchdown, but they've played better. But even if you can find a guy, because Thielen lit them up, Justin Jefferson lit them up. So, you know, if you got guys who are going against teams with secondaries that are a little shoddy, you know, that's the matchup you want to look forward to as you head into your fantasy playoffs. If you've made the fantasy playoffs already, congratulations. You can take a little bit of a deep breath, but you're still wanting to, you know, you're still wanting to field your team, still going out there trying to get wins, because the last thing you want to do is say, well, if I would have won one more game, you know, I would have dodged this team who's coming on strong and getting hot when they need to get hot. You know, if I'd have won this game, I'd have been playing this guy as opposed to this guy. And, you know, it's a funny world. It's a funny world, fantasy football. It really is. It's almost superstitious. It's almost like a superstition. Like, I just clinched a bye week in the league I spotlighted a couple weeks ago here with Alerdo's Fantasy League. I clinched a first round bye. And sometimes I look at it as, well, I don't play the first round. I don't play in the quarterfinals. I get a bye into the semis. And sometimes I feel that's a little bit of a jinx or a little bit of a hex. Like, okay, your team's off this week, you're not playing, but then you come back, and I've had weeks where I've went into, you know, coming out of a bye, and I get beat, and I always blame it on the fact that I didn't play the week before. I know that's crazy. I know that's kind of silly, but it's a superstitious thing that I have. But, you know, I've worked hard all season, you know, to earn that bye, so it gets me into the quarterfinals. And it's just a funny way of looking at things, but that's the way I look at it. It's sometimes buys aren't exactly your friend. And I know there's people out there that, you know, feel the same way, because sometimes you get a buy and you think, you know, maybe if I'd have won, then I'd have won this week. It's a whole ball of wax here, a whole ball of yarn you don't want to unravel. I will say this, though. If you still have this week yet to make trades, okay, don't be afraid to go out there and venture and swing for the fence. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm in the Hateful Hitmen League. I'm 6-5, still in the playoff hunt. Only one playoff spot has been clinched so far, so there's five still out there. I'm still in the playoff hunt. I had a big win last week. I'm still in it. So I reached out to the Dalvin Cook owner and took a swing, you know, to try to land Dalvin Cook, you know, at the trade deadline. Probably not going to happen, because he gave up too much for him when he got Dalvin Cook. It was to me. I traded him. I'm trying to get him back. I made him a pretty lucrative deal. He's got one win this year. I gave him a futures deal looking into next year. And the following year, a first-round pick in the 2022 season, and some players. Probably ain't going to happen, but don't be afraid to go out there and try to take that shot. Try to, you know, hit the home run, and, you know, I'm going after those teams that aren't going anywhere. Okay, go see what you can give them to make your team, that one player, stronger. Give them stuff. Give them assets. Give them picks next year, you know, and that helps set them up, and it also helps you get, you know, another stronger piece for your fantasy run. Another trade I made this week. Still not sure how I feel about it. C&D Podcast League, it's a four quarterback league. You start two quarterbacks and you have two more super flex positions. So you can start four quarterbacks. I'm 10-1 in that league, first place. I lost Joe Burrow. Okay? A Bengals fan. A guy who's in third place, fighting for a playoff. He wants to make the playoffs too. reached out to me and said, hey, what do you want for Burrow? I'm like, well, this is obviously a futures play for this guy. I said, okay, well, let me see what I can do to make this happen. So I go to his roster, and I look at my roster, and I'm like, man, I hate to lose Joe Burrow, but I also want to win this year. I'm set up to win the championship. So I traded Joe Burrow for Justin Jefferson and I think a third-round draft pick next year. Strengthened my wide receiving core. I needed it because I was playing Christian Kirk in the flex, and he's kind of hot and cold, and he's been more cold than hot lately. So I thought, well, if I can land this to get Justin Jefferson, I'll have a pretty solid lineup as my wide receivers, and I feel pretty good. Now, I hate losing Burrow. I really do. But I still have four solid quarterbacks, I think I have Dalton as my fifth. So, you know, I wouldn't play him unless I had to, but I do have a reserve. So I went ahead and made the deal. We'll see how it turns out. I know that, you know, in a quarterback-driven league with four quarterbacks you can play, it's going to help this guy long term. If Burrow's able to get back next year, he's going to be in a real good spot. But if I have a championship under my belt from this year, then I'm willing to make that deal to solidify, you know, where I'm going, you know, this season. So don't be afraid, okay? If you got trade deadlines approaching, take a shot, take a swing. Only thing they can say is, nah, I'm good, or no, or take a hike, kick rocks, take a shot. If you need a piece and somebody's struggling, not making the playoffs, you got a 2-3-win team, go find you somebody. On to week 12. Week 12 is going to answer a lot of questions. Our fantasy world is going to answer some more questions in the NFL world. Okay, we're going to start on Thursday night. We got Houston and Detroit. Usually I talk about this on Sportscaster. No Sportscaster this week because of Thanksgiving being tomorrow. So Houston, Detroit. Houston has played with a pulse since they fired Bill O'Brien. I said that before. You got Detroit 4-6, and they're decimated with injuries. I mean, they are just beat up with injury. I got a report that, you know, half their team's out. I mean, Stafford's hurt, and Swift is questionable, and Galladay's out again, I think. So it's really sketchy, but, you know, it's Detroit, and Detroit and Dallas both play really good on Thanksgiving Day, win or lose. They always come out and play with pride and honor, and they want to play good on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to pick Detroit in this game just because it's a home game for them, and it's on Thanksgiving, and that means something to those players. The ones that are going to be able to play, you know, hopefully Stafford plays, hopefully Swift plays, you know, and it's a competitive game. But do I think Detroit can win this game? Sure, everybody has a chance to win. We saw that last week when Dallas beat Minnesota, and I didn't think they had a chance. So every team can win. So that being said, Houston's playing better these days, okay? Deshaun Watson's playing better. They do have some running back dinged up. They have some hurt people there too. So, you know, it's going to be a good game, and this is the game that we watch while we eat. Okay, we watch this game, my dad and me, lifelong Cowboy fans. We watch this game while we eat, and then by the time the Cowboys play, we've already had one or two plates, and we're just kind of sitting around and feeling miserable. That brings us to Washington football team, Dallas Cowboys. This is the biggest rivalry in the NFC least. Not only because both teams have the same record, but it's the Cowboys and the Redskins. Let's just face it. I know they're not the Redskins anymore, but it's their Cowboys and the Redskins. On Thanksgiving Day, it just doesn't get much better than that. Throw the records out the window. Don't even worry about the records. Don't worry about playoff picture. Definitely worry about fantasy implications because there's some here. But don't worry about records. It's Washington. It's Dallas on Thanksgiving. Looking forward to that. Watching with my dad. Super pumped. Dalton played better last week. The offensive line played better. They made some adjustments on the offensive line. This team played better. Zeke got in the end zone. Zeke had 100 yards for the first time like this year. You know, the Washington football team is playing better. They've got a couple of 1-2 punch at running back that is working for him. Alex Smith playing quarterback's working for him. McLaurin, questionable, probably going to play. is a big-time wide receiver. This game isn't going to be boring. It's going to be a good game. Not just because it's, you know, my Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving Day, but it's going to be an entertaining game. And the winner of this game, it has importance because, let's face it, this NFC least division is still up for grabs. The winner of this game is in the driver's seat, you know, to make a run at the division title. No chance that a wild card team is making it out of this division. So the winner of this team, the winner of this division, is the only going to be the only playoff representative. Going to be a team probably with a losing record. Not exactly mathematically set yet, but both teams are 3-7, and it doesn't look good. But there, somebody has to win the division, and both teams are going to be playing hard because they both know that this division is still up for grabs. Miami and the Jets start us off on our Sunday slate. Miami 6-4. The Jets are terrible. Their record is pathetic. They may go 0-16. I don't think they will, but it's very possible. I mean, I think they can find a win in there somewhere. And how in the world does Adam Gase still have a job? There's no way he has a job when the season's over with. He is on borrowed time. So, oh my goodness. Miami 6-4 playing really good as of late. Definitely, you know, think they can come in to up there in New York and take care of business and go to 7-4. Quarterback, a little bit of a quarterback situation there in Miami. Tua got benched last week in favor of Fitzpatrick. They said that Tua is the starter. You know, is it going to be a short hook kind of thing? If the Jets get off to a hot start, you know, and Tua's struggling, are they going to make the leap back to Fitzpatrick? And if so, it's going to wreck all kinds of fantasy implications if you're going with Tua. And I have to go with him in a league. I know other players that have to go with Tua in fantasy leagues because, you know, of injuries and, you know, just lack of depth and whatnot. So hopefully Tua plays good. I mean, it is the Jets, and they're 6-4, and they should be able to beat the Jets. I mean, the Patriots beat the Jets, so, you know, they should be able to beat the Jets. Arizona, New England. Arizona lost a tough one last week. Kyler Murray got a little bit banged up. I haven't heard exactly. One thing I heard is questionable, but I don't see why he wouldn't play. Hopefully he does, because they're going to need him. It's New England, and New England has a way about this time of year of starting to take off and making the run, and they're still within the playoff hunt at 4-6. They can still run the table and go to 10-6 and land a playoff spot. So New England by no means is out of this. Arizona needs this game to get back on track. You don't want one loss to turn into two, and they really need this. Carolina, Minnesota. Carolina 4-7, Minnesota 4-6. Looks like Carolina hasn't had their bye yet. It's in Minnesota. Look, I know that the Dallas Cowboys beat the Vikings last week, but that was a really good game. It could have went either way. And this is a tough one. Carolina is a team that plays well at times and plays good in spurts. And, you know, if they get it going, looks like Teddy B's going to give it a go. He's going to be back in the saddle at quarterback. And, you know, but I like what I see. I like what I see out of this Minnesota team. They're not out of the playoff hunt yet. They can still make a playoff run. All these teams have something to play for. So these games are going to be very competitive, very hard-hitting stuff. Man, you listened to that game last week, if you watched it. That Dallas-Minnesota game, man, you could just hear the hits. With the lack of fans in the stands, you can really hear, you know, just how hard these people, these players, you know, are getting hurt. So, are getting hit. Excuse me, not hurt, getting hit. So, I mean, it's going to be a hard-hitting game. Both teams need wins. Both teams are still in the playoff hunt. You know, it's going to be interesting. I like Minnesota in this game. Kirk Cousins is playing well. He works off the run game. Dalvin Cook is the best running back in the NFL. And when he's going, he's unstoppable. And, you know, that makes Kirk Cousins even better. So, I like Minnesota in this game to get back on the winning track. Look, I've said in previous seasons, you know, seasons past. This is the third, fourth season of the Hitman podcast, and I've always claimed to be a closet Browns fan. So it does my heart good, you know, being an old Ohio boy here, to see Cleveland sitting at 7-3, winning some ugly games. I mean, playing in just the pouring down, soaking rain and snow, and just they've played in some crap weather recently, and it may continue. But this week they get a reprieve. They're going down to Florida, so at least they'll be warm for them. And they get to go to Jacksonville and play a 1-9 Jacksonville team that, like I just said, making a quarterback change. They have a good running game there with James Robinson, and they got some good wide receivers. So, you know, they pose a threat to Cleveland as far as, you know, giving them a game. But I think Cleveland can go down there and play good and get this win. Baker Mayfield is playing well enough to have his team at 7-3. And the reason for that is he has a really good 1-2 punch at the running back position that takes a lot of pressure off of him, much like Minnesota. Okay, Dalvin Cook takes pressure off Kirk Cousins, and he can find the open man, stacking the box. Nick Chubb's back. He had 100 yards and a touchdown 2 weeks ago. He had 100 yards last week. He's getting his game legs back underneath him, and then Kareem Hunt is a great complement to him. All this helps Baker Mayfield. So that's the reason for the success of the Cleveland Browns, and I've said that before this season, is their running game has definitely helped them along the way, and they're not relying on Baker to do everything. Tennessee, Indy. Okay, look, I picked against Indy a couple of weeks in our Pick'em League, and it bit me. 1 week I picked for them, 1 week I picked against them, and it bit me. I'm taking them this week against Tennessee. Not just because it's a home game, but, you know, they're playing inspired football, and they won a big-time game last week, you know, against Green Bay, even though it was kind of a fluke, and I talked about that with some people on Facebook. It was kind of a fluke, and it was kind of, you know, that fumble. Rodgers got the ball in overtime. I have no doubt in my mind, if that wasn't for that fumble, he goes down the field, gets him in position, scores a touchdown, Green Bay wins. But that's not the realism of it. The realism of it is the Colts played fantastic in the second half, fought back from a deficit, won the game, and they're going to carry that momentum on. Okay, you got a home game against Tennessee, big time game here. Both teams 7-3, both teams really thick in the playoff hunt, both teams in the same division. Big time game. I'm going to take the Colts just because if they win and I pick against them again, I'm going to be sick to my stomach. For Tennessee, you know, A.J. Brown, he is so good and talented and big and strong and fast, but he drops the easiest passes ever. And I know a lot of it is just concentration. There was a couple of passes where he caught the ball. He was going to catch the ball wide open, turned his head, and was looking to run before he caught the ball. You see it all the time in young receivers. And sometimes you even see it in older receivers. But if he gets that taken care of and he can, you know, erase those things from his game, he is a star in this league for as long as he can stay healthy. And, man, he's really good. Him and DK Metcalf playing side by side there in college. Can you imagine that? And Ole Miss still wasn't very good as a football team back then. The New York Giants and the 2-7-1 Bengals. Man, I've said it before that the Bengals record is way better than 2-7-1. Now they're a 2-7-1 program again. Probably going to lose the rest of the games this year. Probably going to lose to the Giants this week, and that's bad because the Giants are just as bad as they are. I don't trust the quarterback play anymore. The running back's hurt. He's been hurt all season. He's out. Giovanni Bernard's played, you know, good in his absence, but, you know, I just don't – it's sad about what happened to Burrow. He was the spark plug in this team, and now from the team that could have been easily, you know, 7-2, 6-3 – now they are what their record says they are, 2-7-1, and I'd be surprised if they win another game this year. Hope I'm wrong, but I'm probably not. Chargers, Buffalo Bills. I always get that confused because you got to make sure it's not the Rams. You got the Chargers and the Bills. 3-7 Chargers, 7-3 Bills back off the bye week. Home game up in Orchard Park. Buffalo's a good football team. They're going to win this game. It's at home. It's going to be cold. The Chargers play in California. It's not cold out there. They have to come clear across the country to play this game with a rookie quarterback who's playing out of his mind. They may get off back. It looks like it's a very good possibility. But Buffalo's going to win this game, and they're going to move to 8-3. And they're going to go down and say that maybe England has lost Arizona, and the Jets pulled a goal, beating Miami, and that they're going to hold on that division. That's just me, you know, talking out loud, because I still think Miami wins. But they're going to beat the Chargers, and they're going to have a really good stranglehold on that division and look for Buffalo to keep moving forward. Las Vegas Raiders versus the Atlanta Falcons. Vegas traveling to Atlanta, 6-4 to play the 3-7 Falcons. The Falcons aren't, you know, the first few losses they had were fluky. But now I struggle to see much of a running game with Atlanta. Todd Gurley is not even close to what Todd Gurley used to be. So they're struggling at the running game. They've got injuries everywhere. Julio Jones is hurt all the time, and it's a safety blanket. When he's not around, Matt Ryan doesn't feel safe. Even if he's on the field and he doesn't catch the ball, at least Matt Ryan knows he's there. It's a different dynamic when Julio Jones isn't out there. It's a different dynamic because it hurts your fantasy leagues too. I got him in one league, and he's driving me insane on the season as a whole. I mean, he had a good, decent game last week, don't get me wrong, but as a whole on the season, you know, and for the past few seasons, Julio Jones has drove me. They're 6-4. They did lose to Mahomes there the other night, but you had to see that coming. Okay, they won the first one. They was able to win the first game. If you can split with the Chiefs the season in your division, that's a win. You know, you come in and you split with the Chiefs, that's a win. You had to kind of see the Chiefs winning that game. So they're 6-4, still in great shape. Gonna make a play. They're gonna make a deep run, you know, at the playoffs, and probably going to be able to come out here, you know, into Georgia and take care of Atlanta and get the W there. So, I mean, fantasy aspects, you know, Carr is playing very well, better than I had, you know, thought he was going to play this year. He's playing well, you know. So if you have quarterback issue, like say maybe you lost Breeze or you lost Burrow, was a great example, what we just talked about, you know, and you need to fire up, you know, Carr, you know, don't hate it. It's not a bad play at all. 6-4 Baltimore, 10-0 Pittsburgh. This game was originally set for tomorrow evening, has been popped back to the 1:15 slot, looks like, per NFL.com on Sunday. Big game for both teams, more so for the Ravens. They need this game to really, you know, say that they're still in this, okay, in the race for not only a playoff spot, but, you know, the division and pride and you know, just if Pittsburgh loses this game, it's not that big a deal, okay? I don't see Pittsburgh going 16-0 anyway. I think somebody's going to trip them up. I mean, Dallas almost tripped them up, so somebody's going to trip them up. They're going to overlook somebody or something, and they're going to lose a game. But they need to lose a game before the playoffs start. So it would be better to lose it. And, you know, if Baltimore comes into Pittsburgh and they come in with a good game plan and they're able to execute, you know, Baltimore has just as good a chance as beating Pittsburgh as Pittsburgh does beating Baltimore. So There's a running back. We talked about that earlier. The running backs have COVID. It's going to be a Gus Edwards show. Maybe a little Justice Hill sprinkled in. I don't know. Still don't, whatever you do, don't start Justice Hill. Don't even think about it. But you may see him on the field, and he may get some touches. But under no circumstances do you start Justice Hill in this game. I wouldn't do it. I just don't trust the scenario. I don't trust, you know, what. I mean, if he comes in and gets 15 carries, but you don't know that. He may get 3 carries for 7 yards, and you've wasted a spot on something else. But I just, you know, Edwards to me is it as far as running game's concerned there in Baltimore. Battle of California, San Francisco versus the Rams. 4-7 San Fran, 7-3 L.A. You know, you got to really like the things that L.A.'s doing. Keeping himself relevant. You can't trust any of the running backs, because just when you think you've seen it all and you've seen nothing out of Cam Akers, he catches a touchdown pass last week. And it's like I said, you know, 2 weeks ago on my podcast, I don't want no part of that. And you can't take that risk right now going into the fantasy playoffs or heading into, you know, the stretch run here for your playoffs. You can't trust it. I haven't played any Rams running backs, you know, for a month, because I don't trust any of them. And the same stays here. They're just going to run them all out there, and whatever happens, happens. And it's just, it's maddening. It's maddening. And it's almost like that for San Fran. There's a chance they may be getting Mostert back. Raheem Mostert is designated to return off of IR. I don't know if that means he comes back in and plays this week. I wouldn't really expect him to. I'm not going to play him unless they say, you know, he's 100% and he's going to get the blunt of the carries. Then maybe I'll put him in a league or two, but you know, I don't trust that either, because it's a pretty nasty injury he's coming back from, and you know, I don't want to take that chance. 8-2 Saints versus the 4-6 Denver Broncos. This is an intriguing game. Melvin Gordon had a surprisingly good game last week. 2 touchdowns. Really had a really good fantasy day. So if they're getting that working, if they're getting some running game going and getting some consistency out of him, you know, this could be an intriguing game, because the Saints defense is pretty good. You know, they come into this game 8-2, and but you know, you saw what we did with Taysom Hill last week. It was not the Jameis Winston start that we thought it was all going to be. It was Taysom Hill got the start. Taysom Hill played well. He ran the ball. He threw the ball. It was typical Taysom Hill, just more fantasy implications. And I'm going to speak on one thing about the ESPN Sports app. Apparently, Taysom Hill carries a tight end designation on that site, which means you could put him in last week at tight end, and he was going to rack up some major points and still play a quarterback in the quarterback position and really just smack the crap out of your opponent. That is not a commissioner's fault, okay, in any way, shape, or form. Is that a commissioner's fault? That is the app's fault, okay? If they've got him listed as tight end, anybody in their right mind with using that app is going to play him in the tight end position, because he is going to probably break the scoring records, the scoring points for tight ends, you know, at that position. So I see people getting mad at commissioners. I've seen it on Twitter, and I also know a league that a couple of guys are in that I know real well, and they had that issue. But that is not a commissioner's deal. He can't dictate, you know, what positions these guys are listed at. You know, a lot of the, in the sleeper, we have a lot of these guys, like Jabril Peppers is listed as a linebacker and a DB. Okay, and you can play him in both spots. So, I mean, it works out to your benefit if you can do that, and you can play Jabril Peppers, you know, at the DB position, and he gets 10, 12 tackles a game. It works out great for you. It's no different on the other side of the ball. But if anybody in their right mind was going to play that way, yeah, it's like a super flex position, really. And if you have a super flex, then it's a third position. You can play a third quarterback. I mean, but you can't get mad at the commissioners, because they have no control over that. So, you know, and commissioners, I do understand your pain, because you have to hear it. But at the same time, you just got to shrug it off, because there's nothing you can do about it. They're calling this next one the kid versus the goat. Okay, I don't know if that means if that's because a baby goat's called a kid, and he's gonna be a goat someday. I don't know what that. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is, but it's the kid versus the goat. Mahomes versus Brady Sunday at 4:25. This is probably going to be a very entertaining game. 9-1 Kansas City, 7-4 Tampa, and Tampa's. You know, like I said, then the theme of the evening for the preview is a lot of these teams are still looking for the playoffs. These teams are still in the playoff hunt, and there's a lot of football to be played in the regular NFL. We're coming down to the end of our fantasy seasons, but the NFL still has a good ways to go. So it's going to be a competitive game. They're going to come into Tampa, and Tampa's going to give them the best they can. They've got a great defense, and they're going to play them tough. And they're going to Kansas City's going to get their best shot. And, you know, it's going to be a game where I think Kansas City ends up winning. But don't be surprised if Tampa makes it very difficult for them. And, you know, and they're in it down at the end, and Patrick Mahomes is scrambling to, you know, to make a play to win this thing. It's Tom Brady on the other side. You know, it's like I said last week about the Packers and the Colts. You know, it's some of these Colts fans were acting like it wasn't Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the field. I mean, okay, come on, it was Aaron Rodgers. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to hit you. It's just the way it goes. You know, so it's going to be Brady, and it's going to be Mahomes, and it's going to be a good game. And I'm not a Brady. I guess I'm more of a Brady fan than I am a Patriots fan. So it wouldn't bother me if Tampa was to knock off Kansas City. It wouldn't bother me at all to see that happen. It would really help their playoff, you know, status. And it ain't going to hurt KC if they was to happen to get beat. One of the oldest rivalries in the NFL renews itself Sunday night in Lambeau, Chicago, Green Bay. It may literally be the oldest rivalry in the NFL if my memory serves me right. 5-5 Chicago, 7-3 Green Bay. Green Bay's mad. They just got beat by the Colts. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is on a mission anyway this year. He's got a chip on his shoulder, bigger than it was the one on draft day. So the Bears back off a bye. Apparently David Montgomery's good to go. He tweeted out he's available and ready to roll. I don't know if that makes any difference. The Chicago defense is good, though. Aaron Jones may struggle in the running game. But, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers at home. Doesn't really matter what the field conditions are. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers, you know, in Lambeau. So I take Green Bay in this game. As much as I don't like Green Bay, as much as I dislike Green Bay, you know, and I am a Bears fan because of Walter Payton from back in the day, but I like Green Bay in this game. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers could have a big game. Those receivers could have a big game. And, you know, the Bears could go to 5-6, which their record's starting to show what they really are. You know, I said back earlier in the season they were kind of like my smoke and mirrors team. They're starting to show it now. Now they're having quarterback problems. They don't know if they're going to start the first string, second string, or third string quarterback. So it's like they're having issues there. And their running game's not great. The only person that's really good on the offense is Robinson. And if they don't have a quarterback to get him the ball, that's scary as well. Seattle, Philly finishes out the week on Monday Night Football. 7-3 Seattle traveling clear across the country. Got a lot of teams traveling far distances this week to play the 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is the starter of the Eagles. He is the guy. Head coach said that, in quotes. He's the guy. There's no question. He's getting ready for Seattle. What Carson Wentz needs is help from Miles Sanders. I said it earlier in this podcast. A lot of these quarterbacks that aren't you know, top notch can rely on, you know, a good running game. And Miles Sanders is back. He's had a couple of good weeks. He's healthier again. They can rely on that, lean on him, and let the game come through him, and then Wentz can make some plays. Wentz is throwing too many interceptions, and he's making too many bad plays, and it's putting Philadelphia in bad spots. 100%, no doubt about it, slam dunk picking Seattle in this game, not just because I need the Eagles to lose and the Cowboys to win to keep their hopes alive in NFC East, but I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Washington football team. I don't like the Giants. So I always root for those teams to lose. So in this instance, go Hawks, go Russell Wilson, go Chris Carson if your injured butt's playing. If not, go whoever running back you run out there, because it looks like they put Scarborough on the injured reserve. So, you know, but Lockett, Metcalf, fire him up, play him, and hopefully the Eagles aren't fly Eagles fly on Monday Night Football. Bits of news before we get out of here for the Thanksgiving weekend.
Here's what we know.
Panthers expected to have Bridgewater, but not Christian McCaffrey versus Minnesota. That's kind of what I talked about a little bit ago. CMC just not ready, got that shoulder issue, and it's been terrible for fantasy owners that have Christian McCaffrey this year. He gets hurt in week two. He comes back for a teaser, has a great game, gets hurt again. We haven't seen him since. It stinks, but, you know, that's just the way it is. He's hurt, and you don't want him to play, you know, unless he's ready. Speaking a little bit on that Chicago quarterback situation, Nagy won't name a starting quarterback, but the NFL.com says all signs point to Mitchell Trubisky, which I find is interesting considering they said we will not be going back to Mitchell Trubisky. Foles is our guy. It's one of those things where you shouldn't say something like that because it comes back to bite you. Find ways around it. Wiggle if you have to. Wiggle out of the question and go from there. It's really crazy. A little bit of good news for the Tennessee Titans. DeForest Buckner placed on the COVID-19 list. Means he's probably not going to play this week. That is going to help that Tennessee offense tremendously. One less defensive cog to muddy up the waters. That's it. That's all I got. That's it. It's Thanksgiving week. Enjoy it. The holidays are upon us. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. To you and your families, have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy the days off. Enjoy the food. I'm seriously about to just embark on the turkey adventure of 2020. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to prep the turkey. I'm going to get it in the oven. We're going to cook that hog tonight so it's done for tomorrow. That's where I'm headed. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show about anywhere you find your podcast these days. Anywhere you want, I'm out there. Good luck to you. Good luck to you this week on your fantasy teams. Good luck to you on your NFL teams, whether you're a Bengals fan, Browns, Eagles, Colts, Cowboys. I could go on. Root for your teams. Football is coming down to the end of the season. It's going to be gone before you know it. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next time on the Hitman Show.